Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to the next episode of the Friendly Geordies podcast. This is going to be a long one. We're recording a whole bunch of pods that we're going to be releasing over the next few weeks, over the holiday period. We've got Jordan here.
Hi guys, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, for every week. We'll do a new intro every one of these.
Yes.
Ollie.
Each week will just be called the Ho Edition. So it'll be Ho, 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 and just for good measure, Ho.
Robbie's
Santa
here.
Santa Claus is not known for that fourth one.
Hey guys, how are you?
Yeah, good, I think. Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, and we've got Ali, our favourite guest.
Hey guys, glad to be back again.
Pleasure to be here with you as well, my ethnic friend Ali. Can we should say Merry Kwanzaa?
No, I'd probably say Happy Holidays.
Yeah. That's very Ali's style.
No, sorry, Merry Christmas, you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, Merry Christmas. May Jesus' blessings be with you.
Yeah.
He does have a kind of a house where you could see that they're the kind of family of new immigrants that makes a very prominent point of, yes, we know we're here now, we very Merry Christmas, yes? Yeah. It's a welcome mat. We have 7 trees in our house. Yeah, well, you're only supposed to have one.
I didn't know that. You had them at Christmas. It makes sense, yes.
Yeah, so we're going to be going in depth, a lot of serious topics here. You know, it's going to be, you know, we're going to get pretty serious.
We're talking about France, so just, you know that, and I don't know if we will.
For next hour, there's just going to be one segment, and it's going to be France, full stop.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. We might cut it out. We're not sure.
And it'll have nothing to do with the Parisian tax, of course. We're just going to be talking about France, its history, culture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, so let's start off with kind of a little exercise that I guess we would be doing before the pod just to work out what we're going to talk about, which is, what do we know about? What are things that we know?
Heaps about is the qualifier that you've got there.
So, like, what is the, you know, like, one or two things that you just think, like, you are an expert on this? So, like, what's something that you reckon, like, if someone came into a room and they were like, guys, what do you reckon about this? You would feel really confident to be like, I can tell you about that.
Exactly. And the way that you would be able to really quantify this is, do not waste our time unless you've got those 2 overalls that you wear. And if you can prominently snap them when it says, hey, do you know about the Forex market? You could be like, why? Yes, I do.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course I do. This is the qualifier. Can you do that in your mind?
Yeah, it's actually pretty difficult, I reckon, because, like, I reckon I know, like, a little bit about a lot of things, but I don't know, like, necessarily just, like, a whole heap of stuff on, like, 1 or 2 topics.
It's true. I could very much imagine if you were going to be in a television show of This Is Your Life, that particular episode would be episode 507, A Tom of All Trades.
Like, I know what I know very little about.
Yeah.
But it's hard to really...
I don't think you do know what you know very little about, because the things that you know those very little about, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry?
You wouldn't even know them. You would, like, for instance, like, you don't know much about, like, Ali's uncle. But because you don't even know if he has an uncle.
Right.
Well, you're looking at his skin colour, you can guess that he's probably got several hundred.
Yeah.
How many uncles do you have, Ali?
Jeez,
you've got to think about this.
Several and uncles. The stereotype works in this case, yeah.
Nice! Yes!
Woo!
Yes! Oh, I love that you're cool about this stuff, Ali. Yeah. It's like...
Oh, wait, but God, I'm counting...
Thanks for my saving grace.
I'm counting my dad's and my mum's cousins, right? My dad has no brother, so technically I kind of have no uncle. My mum's side I do have. I have one uncle. That's it, just one.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Like, well, Robbie doesn't know that, did you, Robbie?
I know that I don't know enough.
You're stupid.
I know that I don't know, like, you know, the ins and outs of Immanuel Kant's life, for instance, the philosopher. I know that I'm an
expert on Kant.
Well, debatable, but I also know that I don't know the best way to keep a beach clean or something like this.
You know, right, okay. Ways.
So I suppose this segment is wrapping out to be... Robbie, can't talk about Kant.
So,
do you reckon you could summarize to us what you know about Kant right here, right now? Because that would be my summary of him. Kant. What's his first name? Is it Emmanuel? Yeah. Oh, Jesus, thank God.
Keep in mind, we said some stuff about him, like, literally 5 minutes ago.
I know, that's why it's in my mind. I could tell you that he... he's... no, I can't tell you anything. What was his main thing?
I am imagining that he has a short Santa Clausy beard with a very stern face of, yeah. Every child would get coal if I was Santa Claus.
Well, I think, he's, like, pretty, like, you know, I think people, like, loved Kant, but now he's seen as quite, like, I guess a bad influence on, like, how we should be now looking at the world, which is more of a kind of, like, objective truths, like a scientific way of seeing things.
What was his main point, though?
Well, I guess, yeah, I don't know. He's probably got several points, but the one that I know about is that he kind of sees everything. It's like a very kind of subjective way of seeing the world. Like, it's through experience. So, it's that kind of... the world only exists as long as I'm observing it. It's like the observer is, like, the center of the universe. So, it's like a very kind of, like... arrogant way of seeing the world, I think, like, kind of like it's all about me because I'm the only one that can really understand anything because I am.
Is he the I think therefore I am guy?
No, that's Descartes. That's Descartes. He would have like advanced on Descartes,
right?
Okay, but,
yeah.
Why is that guy known as one of the greatest philosophers of all time? It seems quite basic to me.
No, it's I think like, he's
do
really...
we know the guy who proposed that the Earth is flat? No, because he's clearly wrong.
Well, I think I just gave like a really lame and one sentence summary of like his lifetime's work. So I think he like has a lot of stuff to say. But now it's like, yeah, I think it's a thing like only a little while ago. Like he would have been very popular in certain like art movements about, you know, which we'll talk about later, which we could talk about now, I guess. Like the whole, like it's like the objectivity thing of... you know, like if you were, you know, like abstract art of saying, you know, the guy that comes into the art gallery and goes like, oh, my 5-year-old kid could paint that. Like that kind of thing of being like, well, you don't, it's, you know, it's all about experience. Like, I think it's good. So therefore it's good. Like, you know, you might think it's bad and you're also right. It's kind of like that idea of, you know, there is no objective way of seeing the world. It's all about subjectivity.
What do you think about it? Do you think there is an objective way of seeing things?
Yeah, I personally think there is, yeah.
What is objective?
What's your example, Mr. Smarty Pants?
Well, what do you reckon?
He's not wearing pants, he's wearing footy shorts again. Take some pride in yourself, you slob.
Well, what do you reckon first? Do you reckon there is or not?
I reckon there's a bit of both. You know, I think that...
I don't think you can have both in this scenario.
Yeah, no, this is not a have your cake and eat it too scenario. Much like the scenario of having your cake and eat it too.
Well, explain what you mean. Like,
all right, if you... so, like, I think pretty much everything's... subjective, but you can objectify things by, you know, just by focusing on a particular set of criteria, and working out therein, you know, where the value is. And,
well, maybe things that, like, I think it's kind of like what we, yeah, I think there's a thing of, yeah, subjectivity maybe about like certain elements of, you know, like of like poetry, for instance. There might be like subjectivity to that, but I think there are other things which have to be considered objectively true, and if you're not going to consider them objectively true, like you're on a very slippery slope of just like delving into like what's the point of doing anything. Like if
we'll go,
all right, for instance, like a bottle of water in front of us, right? If you can't objectively say that that's there, I think you've like kind of like you've lost your mind to me. Like if you think like I'm so important that like if I be like that the bottle of water is only there because I'm experiencing it is like such a kind of, yeah, like it's a cool idea, but in reality if you're alive or not the universe doesn't care. That's like the ultimate truth, right? That it's like it makes sense when, because he, like, think about it, he was like, he, like, people had this idea of the world when we only knew that when we thought the world, you know, the world was the center of everything. It's that kind of like the humility of man, like over history, where we start out at this big kind of like, you know, we are the center of the universe. God made us. God made man in his own image. Like we're the center of everything. Then we discover that, you know.
Well, I never thought about that. That is extremely self-absorbed, right?
Yeah. Well, it's really cool because it gets like more and more.
I look like God.
I'll tell you something that... I think looking at things always subjectively is actually destroying us. The reason being, so post-70s, most of the academic world, so best universities in the world, mostly in the Western world, developed this idea that nothing is really objective. So whatever, so if you're pointing at that bottle, the way you're looking at that bottle is very different to the way I'm looking at that bottle, even though we're looking at the same bottle.
Yeah.
So that idea prevailed across campuses. Now, what that idea does is essentially it allows this, because you can't be sure of anything. So for example, if country A invades country B, nobody's right or wrong in that situation. It's a subjective way. They have their own way of looking at it. The other people have their own way of looking at it.
Conflicting perspectives.
Exactly. So it just, it maintains the status quo. So when someone tries to argue a point that, you know, this is wrong, this shouldn't have happened, this is objectively not right, then that postmodernist idea of everything being subjective just says, well, they have their own point, so you can't really...
But yeah, it's a dangerous idea.
How much does that favor the bad guy?
Well, that's the thing, I think.
The powerful guy.
Saints, right?
It favors the powerful guy, not necessarily the bad guy. Sometimes the powerful guy can be the right guy, but...
No, I think it's like...
It just maintains that status quo. So for progressive people, it's a horrible thing because it's conservative in its function where it tries to maintain things and it lets things happen on their own because we can't control anything and we don't even know what's right or wrong. But the fact of the matter is, with some things, we do know what's right or wrong. There might be a lot of things that we don't, but for some things, we do know what's right or wrong. And we should be able to say this is wrong and this is right and not being barraged by all of this... You know, this whole theory that, well, you don't know what is. Nobody knows what is right. Well, I do. And I say, this is right. If you think this is wrong, then try to prove me wrong.
Yeah, I think it's like it's such a small L liberal kind of way of seeing the world in that, like, that's like the problem right now. Like, I was just, like Sam Harris said it really well. Like, people, I bet like half the people listening to this podcast are scared of the word like enemy. Like, that's like to say, like, you know, take like the Paris attack thing. It's like, just like suggesting that you always have to have this two sides to this. So say like, oh, what they did was terrible, but you know, they probably had, you know, they've got a reason for it as well. And then it like becomes this like, all right, there's like contextual reasons here that, you know, they're, you know, oppressed in France, blah, blah, blah. And then it becomes this kind of like, well, you know, there's two sides to this story. Well, like, and that has to be the prevailing like discussion, which is actually like, you know, it sounds good on the surface, but it's also quite a dangerous idea. It's that like, you know, obviously what they've done here is like an awful thing, but like you need to defend them. Like, why is there this, like, it encourages like there has to be a defense for each thing when sometimes like, no, like some things are just like objectively terrible.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like some, like that, for example, that Paris thing is a good one. Like you can try to think about the other side, but really there is no explanation. Like this is one of those things that I'm talking about. Like this is objectively wrong. They're irrespective of what your arguments are. This particular act is wrong and
why?
For one, 150 people, like innocent people died. So that by definition cannot be right in any sense.
It's kind of, yeah, but like that's
the problem.
You can
use that hippie cosmic argument of, you don't know, man, there could have been two Hitlers in there and then that would have been doubly good.
But that's
awesome. I don't want to live in a world where I have to wear croissants as shoes, man.
You could also...
For some reason, that's his main push.
But we don't know that. We don't know if there were two Hitlers that died. But what we do know is that there were 150 innocent people that died.
But you don't know, for instance, like, the argument could be, well, why is killing someone wrong?
Yeah, well, like, can I just say that from their perspective, they're not innocent, are they? You know?
Yeah, but that's what I'm trying to say. Their perspective is bullshit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Why?
As well.
That's extremely arrogant.
Yeah, that's like the problem, I think, is that like...
Your arrogance is what's the problem, Ali.
Look,
specifically
there,
yours.
Look, there are...
Because it is a subjective universe.
Yeah, a good example would be the Charlie Hebdo problem. Like, so the cartoonist, where it's like you've got... These cartoonists get killed and then it's like, oh, well, you know, they were racist cartoons. Like, they were bad cartoons.
Yeah.
And that's, like, I think the point is, like, exactly in that. If you're even, like, discussing the other side of this, you've walked into this really, like, retarded way of seeing things because it's, like, people died. Like, it's not, like, who cares? They wrote cartoons. Like, if you're drawing a cartoon and you're even discussing the content of the cartoon, you've gone, like... way too far in that. There's no other side to that. Like, murder is never... If you're having to, like, try and justify why someone's, like, murdered someone, it's like, well, you know, like, that's why... Yeah, but it comes down to eventually, like, why is, like, murder even bad? Or, like, why are there certain things... are there things that are just objectively wrong?
Like, that's the thing. So, you don't know if murder is bad or not, but, like, there are certain moral ethics that we have developed over the years, and that we've realized that these moral ethics actually lead to advancement and betterment. And one of those things is, like, you can't kill someone.
Yeah, just like the idea.
Just because you want to.
I don't know. Don't you think the world would advance a lot if there was a certain quota of dumbassery that is not tolerated? That the great example we were using and said that we wouldn't discuss this on the Paris edition, but surprise, surprise, looks like we're going this way. Uh-oh, my mouth is moving faster than my brain. You remember, don't you, Robbie? It's all that I know that little cheeky grin from anywhere.
Yeah.
What is the grin of,
ooh, we're getting into something saucy, aren't we?
Spicy.
Go. Oh, you just, I always thought that was saucy for you.
Oh.
This is a discussion for another time. We were talking about the time that you... Limp Bizkit audience, right?
Oh.
If somebody just nuked... If you just gathered all the idiots together, much like that episode of Futurama where you got all the robots together and they were going to just laser them in this massive robot rally that they were having.
Yeah.
Same with if you were just going, free chickens to Limp Bizkit, man! Let the floodgates open. Every dropkick bro in the United States, you just went...
What if...
That'd be a good thing.
Well, no, it wouldn't.
Look, not necessarily. Look, why? Because they went to a Limp Bizkit concert.
And who? You're the guy that decides.
What contribution is anyone from a Limp Bizkit concert going to do with
their life? Yeah, but probably not at the Limp Bizkit concert. Like, they do have lives that concert.
They probably have kids.
You never know. Well, I'm not even bringing that argument here. I'm just talking about... Yeah.
It's kind of like... No, well, it's just like... Well, firstly, who are you to decide that they are worth dying? Like, so...
Answer me honestly, Tom. If you were going to kill someone, if you had to kill a huge, large group of people, Limp Bizkit in top 10? At least in the top 10.
I don't know the music well enough. I can't give an honest answer.
No, the music isn't that great.
If I had to genocide a group of people. We have a music connoisseur in the studio right now. Why don't you want to be on this? Are you scared of Muslims killing you?
Jesus.
I don't... Oh, yeah. Of course, aren't you? What?
No. Bring it down.
Okay. I don't know how...
Bring on the Rhapsody.
How much can we keep in here? Like, I don't know.
You decide later
on.
Okay,
all right. So, I think we might have perhaps gone a little bit off topic, but we can continue down this road. But I
don't know. It's still the ethic of morality, okay. Right? That these Limp Bizkit people, not only it doesn't matter if they die, they deserve to die.
Mm. Well, this, yeah, I reckon...
Disprove it, right?
I think a good example about this, like... Because moral philosophy is such, like, a... Just whatever you reckon you're right kind of, like, argument. But, like, it's really interesting because in the next, like, couple of years... Like, I think we've spoken about this before on the pod. But, like, in the next few years, like, actual, like, moral dilemmas are going to have to be, like, properly solved in, like, a practical context because of driverless cars. So, like... Because of driverless cars, it'll be that situation where it's like the car's driving down and there's an old woman there and the car has to decide, like crossing the road, and the car might have to make a decision like, do I keep driving and kill the old woman or do I veer off the road and kill the guy that's in the car? Like, if it had to make those decisions, you literally have to make moral decisions there, like, is age... Like, can you value the life of another person over someone else?
Well, so, in the movie I, Robot, how annoyed did it make you that... Will Smith's gripe was that the robot saved his life over the little girls.
Yeah.
And he was just going, because a human being would never make that decision. And that's why they're inferior. That's why the robot deserves to replace us, because it's cold, hard logic.
Objective.
Like, it's the kind of logic that even Spock could look at and go, God damn, that's a beautiful answer.
But yeah, I reckon it's really cool because it is actually making you think, like, yeah, like, I reckon it's true with, like, a lot of philosophy. Like, if you really understood, like, the data set of all the factors that are going on, you could make objectively true answers there. Like, you could say, like, you know, how intelligent is this little girl? Like, what are her... Like, you know, what's her situation? Like, could you... Like, if you could truly understand every factor, could you weigh up, like, her life versus Will Smith's life in iRobot and say, like, all right...
What a deadbeat assistant detective alcoholic.
Yeah, right? But, like, you know, like, maybe if you knew enough, you could, like, determine that he may be more likely to help the world or something like that.
Yeah, he did save the world. Yeah, the robot made the right choice.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's kind of...
As if the little girl was going to do anything in that situation, she would have been cowering in a room with that robot saying, stay indoors, and she would have just been hugging her teddy bear there. Yeah, screw the girl. Good. Good riddance.
But yeah, like, it's such a... As if, like, just doing that little thought exercise, everyone was probably thinking, like, that's so mean to the little girl. Like, because you... like,
were you? I wasn't thinking that.
Yeah, well, I felt a little bit kind of like...
robot.
Well, I felt a little bit like, you know, poor girl. Like, you know, why is it... It's just like, how do you make these decisions? And I reckon that there has to be, like, actual ways of... And they have to now start thinking about it properly. Like, what is the objectively true moral answer?
And who do we trust to make that
decision? That's the biggest question. Like, how do you know that you know enough to make that decision?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and it's really hard. But like, all
right, we don't know, but maths knows, right?
Well, there's some things you can just say. Like, the good example is the train scenario, which is like the test that's done to test if you're like psychopathic or like your kind of like tendencies. Like, which it's like a moral dilemma where you've got like a train like hurtling down a train track and there's a car of like a family like on the train tracks and they're stuck and they're gonna get killed by this train unless you do something. It's like, if there was a guy standing on this like bridge looking at the train, would you push him off the bridge and like tangle him up in the train tracks to then save the family, so kill one person to save many? And it's like, there's a few examples in that. So it's like, would you do that firstly? Like, what do you guys reckon? Would you do it? Would you kill him to save a family?
If it was guaranteed, yes.
If it's guaranteed that yes. The guy is going to die, but the family will live.
Well, this is too perfect a scenario for the real world, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's a good...
I've never thought about how... That's so storybook.
Yeah.
You can still like that... If all quagmarks were quarks, does that mean all quarks are quagmarks?
All right, what about if it wasn't guaranteed, Tom, would you?
If it wasn't guaranteed, like, you were, no, like, I wouldn't do it, because then it's like you're killing more people.
Greater chance.
Yeah, like, but again, like, if you knew all the factors, you could actually make a really correct decision there. It's just like, that's why I reckon heaps of morality is kind of just like a thing of like not understanding, kind of like the luck thing we talked about in the other pod, where it's like, if you actually knew, like, all right, his weight is this and a train will get, like, mangled and, you know, like, a train will stop if a body is, like, this large, you could actually know that stuff. So, like, an artificial intelligence could understand that. So, it could actually make those decisions really well.
Theoretically, but it should happen, though. Like, if you can save 5 lives by taking one, then you should probably do it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But at that position, let's say if you were in that position, I probably wouldn't be able to do it. Not because I don't want to. But because I'm not exactly sure if it will, I won't trust myself enough to actually gamble.
Yeah.
But like, and on top of that, the guy's looking at you going, come on, don't do it.
Yeah. Well, then the test gets
but
changed.
But the robot would just be like, illogical.
Yeah. Irrelevant. Yeah. But yeah, the test gets changed though, because then imagine the guy's actually like tied up on the tracks. And then you can either save him and kill the family, or you leave him and let him die to kill the family. Like, it's the same moral problem, but the only difference is you actually have to do an action to stop it.
Mm.
So, it's like most people would leave the guy and let him die to save the family, but most people also wouldn't push the guy. So, it's like a thing of... But if you would push the guy, you've made, like, morally the right decision, but you have more psychopathic tendencies because you just don't see any emotion in that. Like, you're completely logical.
On top of that, though, again, the next layer is, what if the guy is Stephen Hawking?
Well, yeah, I think they're all equal. You know, like, it's just trying to look at it as, like, objectively.
Nah, that's where it gets a bit iffy, man. I can't push Stephen Hawking. Like, but, like...
He's disabled, man.
No, not because of that. But because, like... Look, if I know that... It's the same thing. If it was my family member, I probably wouldn't be able to push them.
Yeah.
Even though if it was the morally... So, I know Stephen Hawking. I know the sort of contributions
he's
making.
But what if we were in the car, Ali?
Yeah. Would you save us?
Save you guys over Stephen Hawking?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good question.
Who's who? Tom's the kid in the background. Yeah. In the back.
Ali! Save me! Push the bastard! Yeah, how long does Stephen Hawking
your
have
brother's
to live?
On there. Like, no, your brother's on there. Robbie's the mum. And I'm the dad, and I'm sitting there being like, make the right choice, Ali, smoking what could possibly be my last pipe.
So you approve of me killing you guys
no,
over Hawkins.
He approves of you making a choice.
I'm begging you. Like, push one of your family members off, please.
Yeah, you're killing Stephen Hawking to save the three of us. Would you do it?
Look, well, I know you guys, so I probably would do that. But, like, even after doing it, I would regret
you
it.
You monster.
Are you going to wheel him off?
Yeah. You're talking about the future of black hole research.
You're going to go to the edge and, like, flip him off.
Sorry, yeah. Dr. Hawking. Yeah. Sorry. Professor Hawking.
Professor Hawking.
No.
ALS bucket challenge maximized.
But yeah, I think
and then he uses his rockets to fly up going, "You fool, if you chose the family, I would have granted you three wishes." I will go back to my moon mansion now.
But yeah, don't you think that raises like an awesome point of like, you then think Stephen Hawking adds more value to the world than the family, right?
No, but like then again, Stephen Hawking is an old man, so he's like obviously he's a genius and he's going to continue to add more things, but you guys are young as well, right? So
but and look at us, what are we going to contribute?
Obviously we're not going to contribute
Robbie's
as much
looking
as
at his texts at the moment.
Yeah, he can't even contribute to a podcast. What's he going to contribute to the world?
He can't even keep his hair straight and he's got full access of his arms and legs. Why do we contribute in here?
But yeah,
none of us are wearing shoes. Tom hasn't worn shoes for 2 days straight.
All right, I'll personally kill you. After killing Steve, I'll just come and stab you guys. That will make sure I'm a psychopath, all right?
Yeah.
Four thank you. Deaths.
Jeez, yeah. But yeah, I guess that can like...
Yeah, that's someone's answer. Shocking, right? Somebody just asks, is there an option C? Kill all of them?
Yeah. So yeah, I think we then agree then there is like objective truths to the world or not.
I thought we were doing art. I thought that's what we were talking about.
Well, we'll get into that, but I think if you can like first lock that down, then it says a lot of things about art.
Okay. I don't know.
Like, I think if you got objective, like, moral kind of, like, decisions down... Like, it's a way more annoying topic just talking about objective truths in general, like, because I hate the whole moon thing, or, like, the... You know, they're like, if we didn't exist, the moon wouldn't exist because we didn't experience it. It's such a frustrating thing to me.
Oh, thou's protests a little too much, methinks, mine dear Tom Bombadil.
Go on.
You accuse me of that on a bi-fortnightly basis, otherwise known as a monthly basis.
Yeah. All right, fine. I'm sorry for accusing you of that. It's just something that really gets to me.
But the reason why it does get to you is because you love discussing this.
No, I hate discussing it. No, but nothing makes me
really
more angry.
You are a mental bully, Tom. That is what you are. You hate a little kid building a sandcastle by themselves, and you can't wait for your jockish, and that's why you never wear any shoes anyway, because in your mind you're just always walking around a beach kicking down kids' sandcastles.
Yeah, you know this is a terrible foundation. Yeah, there's no
make
longevity
it again,
to this.
Dork.
Yeah.
It's not going to last. It's not sustainable. It's better to be knocked down.
Yeah. What's the point? Yeah, what's going to live in this?
But the thing is, I don't think anybody does think that that's the... you would have to find somebody who's taken a lot of acid.
All right, how about
think
this?
That's true.
This example, then, which is one which I've like come across many people that think this, and it's something that like really annoys me, is like the objective subjective thing of, you know, oh, in Eritrea, the African country, it's commonplace to sexually mutilate young girls at puberty. Like, you know, we circumcise girls. And, like, and you say, like, that is just objectively wrong. Like, the girl is in... they don't enjoy it. It's not a thing that girls are like, yeah, it's a rite of passage, I enjoy doing it. It's, like, a thing of, like, I'm cutting your clitoris off so you can never experience pleasure. It's, like, something which is just clearly wrong, right? Like, it's just objectively wrong to cause pain, I would say. Like, suffering. But you come across people that are like, well, it's not your culture. You don't understand. It's like in Samoa, like, yeah, we beat our kids, like, to educate them. We beat them with clubs. But, like, you know, it's our culture. That's how we do things. And you can't say anything because that's not your culture. You don't understand. It's subjective. There's subjective ways of doing things. I think, no, there's objective ways of how to be good and how to be bad. And that's bad.
You can say whatever you want. So your opinion will be valid either way. But I do say that if you have an opinion about something, then you should always, as an exercise to understand your opinion, you should try to play the devil's advocate with yourself. Like, what is their argument? Where does their argument come from? why is this culture there? And then if you can have that historical background and, you know, understand the issue a bit more, then you can probably convince that Samoan guy as well. You can explain to
him. It's just that thing I think of, like, the whole, you know, people mistake, I think, the idea of free speech with every opinion that is heard is an equal opinion. You know what I mean? Like, you know, how often do you hear the phrase, like, hey, it's my opinion. Like, hey, it's what I think. Yeah, it's just my opinion. Like, I'm allowed to have an opinion. It's like, yeah, you're allowed to have an opinion, but, like, you're still wrong. Like, it's just, like, it is not a good... Like, no one should hear your opinion. You know, like, it's that kind of thing. Look, of, like, yeah, you can say it, but you should be, like, condemned for saying it.
It can be wrong. It can be... And you can be condemned. Like...
Like, socially condemned, not, like, legally condemned. But, like, you should be,
socially,
like, cast out. Yeah, it's that kind
of... Yeah, if you've come to... But what I say, before you cast out anyone... Yeah,
listen to them.
Yeah, look, like, not just listen to them, because, like, if you're listening... Like, that's one of the issues. Like... A lot of the times, whatever ideology or whatever culture, anything that they're representing, they might even not know about it. So there's essentially two sides that are arguing about an issue that essentially both of them don't know anything about.
Yeah.
So if you have an opinion about something and you're actually going on the verge of saying, like, you should be outcasted for having this opinion, then I say it is your moral duty, again, comes to morals,
to educate,
to understand what the issue is actually about, both perspectives. And do your broader research on the things. And then if you say, well, I have come to the conclusion that this is, the conclusion is following and their opinion is not valid, yeah, and it doesn't represent, you know, a sane mind, then yeah, then that's fine.
Yeah, like, I think you're right. I think it's more just like the blanket attitude of saying that every way of seeing the world is equal to the to another way of seeing the world. You know, like, it's just like, all right, how about, it's just like blanketly true, right, that there are just like, that Afghanistani women are just like, not like, so many are uneducated, like, some like huge portion of like the Muslim world are like, of women are like literally illiterate, right? They have no education. And it's like, so then when you hear their beliefs on certain things, it should be like, these people should be educated firstly to, like, you know, so they can actually have, like, an enlightened opinion on things. Like, don't you think, like, some people just, like, it's not, like, brainwashing, but, like, it's people just so ignorant of, like, how the world is. In, like, you know, but the argument is, like, well, maybe you're ignorant. Maybe you don't know something. But I just feel like, no, some people, like, I bet you if I had, a big chat with, like, Nietzsche or something, I would just be like, yeah, like, I really just, you know, you do, your insight on these things are probably, you know, is better than mine. Like, you know more about the world. You've thought more about it. Like, there is, like, levels of, like, knowledge. You know, it's that kind of, like, take climate change, for instance. If you, like, had a discussion with someone and said, like, all right, well, I'm a climate scientist and I've been studying the climate and, like, CO2 levels for, like, 50 years of my life. Like, my entire life has been dedicated to this one thing. And then you meet
Andrew Bolt.
Yeah, and then Andrew Bolt's like, well, I have an opinion about this and I think this, and, like, my opinion's, as you know, it's my opinion, so I want people to hear my opinion. It's like, obviously it's not about whose opinion is right or wrong. It's like, this is just an objective fact either way, right? And then, like, this guy who's the climate scientist obviously knows more about it. It's not about, like, oh, well, let's understand Andrew Bolt's perspective on this. It's like, he can't have an actual educated perspective at all. So, like, why are we even bothering listening to him? It's like, there are some things which are just kind of, like, factual truths. And, like, even if you understood the context of, like, Andrew Bolt's upbringing and why he, you know, might not, like, might support coal, so therefore, you know, won't support, you know, that climate change is happening, it's like, it's kind of irrelevant information. If something is just, like, a factual, like, objective truth.
But, Tom, you need to go through that process. I agree. After having that whole, after doing that research about Andrew Bolt and his whole context, you might again come up to the conclusion, well, his opinion is not, it's bullshit. But you still have to go through the process. If you are commenting on Andrew Bolt in particular, if you were saying that his opinion is not valid because he is not a climate scientist, that is a perfectly legitimate claim to make. But if you were saying that, then you must understand what Andrew Bolt is saying and where he's coming from. Yeah. And then you can say it's bullshit.
I don't know if we have enough time. You know,
yeah, I think that's the problem. Yeah. Is like,
it's just,
well, yeah, but look, certain things are already established facts. So, for example, climate change is like one of those ridiculous things that we still are talking about. Like, there are certain phases of every discussion where you establish certain facts and then you move on. Climate change, unfortunately, for political and economic reasons, has been one of those issues that's just been held back. It should have been at a point where we're over the discussion of if it's happening or not, and actually understanding how we're supposed to take care of it.
Like, technically, you are right. I just think it's like, it's one of those things. It's like, yeah, there's not enough time. Like, imagine you've got this big board meeting, right, of all, like, all the world experts come together and we're going to talk about, like, a big problem, like climate change. And, like, everyone's like, all right, we unanimously agree. And then someone's like, like, what about this? And they'd be like, all right, guys, like, let's hear this guy out. Like, we know this is, like, absolutely true because we have the science, and it's not a matter of opinion. It's a matter of, like, we have the data. We know it's true. And then this guy's like, well, like, I think it might not be because of this and this. And yeah, like, you are technically right. You should hear him out. But imagine how many, like, dissenters there are to, like, most common thoughts. It's like the journalist problem of, like, having to show two sides, even if one is just, like, so vastly outnumbered. It's like, it shouldn't be heard. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, should we listen to the crazy dude who thinks the world's going to end because aliens are going to invade the place? Like, we have levels of kind of, like, this guy obviously is insane. Like, you don't, like, you won't take, you know, an insane homeless man on the street's opinion as, like, as seriously as an academic's opinion, would you?
They thought,
like,
Copernicus really was insane.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm sure, like, yeah, you can give, like, these really, like, single examples, but, like, in, like,
single examples.
Well, like, all right, in practical sense, though, right?
I only gave one example. Yes.
Like, in a practical world, it's like, you, like, none of you would honestly say, like, hold on, like, let's hear this dude who's, like, been rambling for the last hour and is, you know, has no idea. Or, like, let's listen to this, like, 2-year-old child who can speak 10 words. You know, it's like, obviously, they have no idea what they're talking about. Like, it's,
but let's find out where they were born.
There's some examples as well of, okay, so say, for instance, there was a child that was able to assemble an IKEA piece of furniture that was labeled extremely difficult. So, apparently, only 7% of the population could assemble this. Mm. And they were people that normally were carpenters, can't think of any other examples, so I'm just going to assume that 7% of the adult population is carpenters, and 30% is doctors. This is my worldviews, right? Okay. It's my opinion.
Yeah, so I'm just as right.
So this kid was, I think he was 7 or 10. He was able to assemble this extremely hard piece of IKEA furniture because he didn't have that piece of information saying that this is extremely hard.
Mm.
So the fact that he didn't know what he was talking about, made his opinion good.
Yeah, I think maybe what I'm saying is, like, it comes down to evidence, right? Like, if you have all this evidence about climate change, the onus then lies on the other person to then, you know, disprove the evidence. That's like how science works, where you've got, you know, the current model. If it doesn't work, it has to change. But it's like it kind of applies there in that, like, just because people think different things, it doesn't, that's not the way you value time to be given to each person,
but,
you know?
But Tom, what I'm trying to argue is that it's not just that they're thinking of things in a different way. If that was the case, that would have been awesome. But a lot of times, when you understand what the other person is talking about, you understand their context. So for example, if a politician is denying climate change, after understanding it, in about 99% of the cases, it's not because they don't believe in climate change. It's because they're representing certain lobbies that don't want climate change mechanisms to actually take place. So when you understand that, then you're like, all right, now I know why this guy is saying it. And now I can say, hey, man, I've called you out.
Yeah.
These are the real facts. You were saying this because of the following reasons. And if you actually call him out, then the people that are listening to you will be more inspired by you than just saying, well, your opinion is not valid because you're not a climate scientist, which is absolutely true.
Yeah. But I'm saying, I guess, like, take, like, the Samoan beating the children example. Like, to be honest, I don't even know if that's a true thing, but, like, say it is, right? I think it's, like, a thing where you can just objectively know, right, that, like, beating a child, like pummeling a child is just, like, not a good thing, right?
Why?
How can you objectively...
Because it's suffering. Like, it's like, I think if you're causing suffering on something, like, give me an argument.
Kyle and Jackie O argument that we're about to delve into. But
no, if you smack kids around a bit, like, and they're scared of you, right? Yeah. They're going to study harder. They'll come home early. They'll be more behaved.
Yeah, well, all right.
Maybe within an inch of their life, right? If they're in an extreme case, yeah, sure, a little bit of a head here and there.
They'll be extremely disciplined, won't they?
Well, I think the argument is...
True.
Like,
go.
The argument...
If you were walking towards the light and then you heard, like, and if you don't clean your room again, ain't gonna happen to you again, okay? That was like you getting drawn back into your body. That was the thing that you heard. You would be well behaved.
Yeah, well, yeah, like, it's
for PTSD.
All right. Well, the argument is like,
yeah, your nervous system would be so trained into being well behaved. So maybe Simone kids are really nice.
I don't think it's a result. Anyway, like, it could be. But like, I'm just saying, like, if you can imagine, like, imagine, like, the worst, like, a worst case scenario of, like, what the worst thing could happen to you, right?
So, your parents, not only, they didn't beat you, but they were able to conjure up a passage into hell. And yeah. And then just put you, their version of time out was just to send you to the realm of Satan.
Yeah, well, I think that's... Yeah, no, that's exactly...
Oh, God! Can insane. You think of a worse parent?
Yeah, what sends you to hell for 5 minutes? Sends you there forever.
Do you want to go back?
But yeah, that's meant to be it. Is like, if you, like, it is possible to imagine, like, an absolute worst case scenario, which is like a hell scenario, right? And like, you know that, yeah, hell,
not even hellish, hell.
Yeah, which is like a universal thing, right? Which is, it's essentially all hell equals is suffering. So like, the idea of suffering objectively has to be a bad thing. Like, there's no, in no way does that progress the world. Like, if you're looking at it from like our moral quandary, which was like the one to save three kind of thing. It's like the same scenario is there, that you could objectively say that, like, the suffering of another is in no way ever a good thing, right? It's just, like, only bad from that.
Yeah,
that,
what about if you were able to torture information out of a terrorist and stop them from bombing something?
Yeah, well, that's the... Well, yeah, but that's a one to save many. That's, like, what I'm saying. Is like, you've got, like, if you've... Yeah, so there are kind of, like, moral changes to it. But, yeah, it's like a... It feels as though if you can, like... objectively say that suffering is bad, then it's like hearing out the, you know, Samoan culture way of like, well, this is why we do it, this is why we do it. I'm saying that there are, if you can objectively work out a pattern, like a pattern of like, this is right, this is wrong, then you can say like, I don't even need to hear this out because we know, like, for instance, this one is bad.
How did you come up with the idea that whatever you're saying is right? How did you come up with that conclusion?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But you,
like,
learned,
yeah,
stuff, right?
No, I'm saying you're, like, constructing, like, a moral, like, guideline, a universal, like, moral code.
No, no, fine. That universal moral code. How did you come up with that moral universal code?
I listened to a podcast.
Sam Harris.
I'm saying you come up with the... Yeah, like, a universal moral
Sam
code
Harris.
Comes from, firstly, like, evolution, like, biological design, right? So, like, for, like, you know, how do you, like... progress as a species. So, like, you know, the betterment of yourself, then plus thousands of years of, like, legal and, like, cultural evolution, essentially.
Yeah.
Which is, like, you can say, you know, like, if you look at, like, society, you know, 1,000 years ago, we've definitely, like, progressed since then because of, like, the development and evolution of law. So, if, like, one law doesn't work, we get rid of it, replace it with a better law, like, the same as, like, you know, the scientific method. So, you've got, like, an actual, like, evolving moral guideline, right?
Exactly. It's an evolving moral guideline. It took us centuries to come up with the ideas that you're just talking about. They're absolutely right, but don't forget, it took us centuries to actually come up with those. Now, what I'm trying to say is that even if we have figured something out, we mustn't stop. We mustn't stop evolving it further.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, like, you're not evolving if you like, if we're moving backwards, right? Yeah. I think you could say, like, you know, crucifying people as capital punishment is just not right because we've evolved past that. Yeah. We've progressed. Like, in the same way, you
what
could
if you
say,
really hated them.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
What if it was the Antichrist and it was the only way of stopping him from spreading hell onto Earth?
Yes.
Yeah, well, in that case, yeah, because, you know, like, we're in some, like, insane world. Like, whatever, yeah. But,
so, North Korean dictator. Crucify?
Well, no, why would you crucify anyone? Like, it's...
Why not?
Would you kill
a lot of people?
They're dickheads.
He's brought hell onto Earth.
Yeah, so we crucify him just so he suffers.
Yes.
Like, yeah, why not?
That's such, like... Yeah, you guys are living in, like, a 2,000-year-ago morality from...
No, but, like, if they're really bad...
What's the point in making them suffer? It's just, like, such a revenge thing. Revenge is such, like, a... Kind of, like, what are you on about? Like, do you really think there's a way of justifying, like, revenge...
What would you rather?
It tastes sweet.
What would I rather have them, like... I wouldn't have someone suffer, even, like, whatever they did. That's, like... Well, that... At least that's the way of seeing it now, right? Like, morally, like, that is the right way of seeing it.
But what would you want?
Yeah, I wouldn't want someone to suffer.
What would you want instead of crucifixion?
So you just want a cow prod to the head of the North Korean dictator.
So you're like pro like capital punishment. Like you, if someone killed your parent, would you be like, the guy who killed my parent, he has to die? Is like your, that's honestly how you see the world.
No, I want them to be invented a pain machine.
Yeah, so I think...
So you do bring out an e-hell.
Yeah, I think, yeah, you're seeing it in this kind of like... You know, like, it seems like that's a really, like, kind of barbaric way of seeing it.
Yeah, I think it is, but it's also really satisfying.
Yeah, it just sounds awesome.
What
yeah.
does it achieve, though?
Yeah, if just his satisfaction.
What was like, the purpose of your action?
In crucifying a killer.
Kim Jong-un or someone. Yeah, well, what's the purpose of your action?
Just satisfaction from them suffering.
So, your personal satisfaction.
And well, the satisfaction
and the people of
many.
North Korea.
Yeah.
And
No. The
I'm
people
pretty sure most people on the planet would be really cool with Kim Jong-un being crucified. The only person that wouldn't be cool with that is Kim Jong-un. Yeah, maybe his mum, but even his mum was probably like, yeah, he's a little bastard.
Yeah, no.
No, but people of North Korea would be happy if Kim Jong-un wasn't there. They're not going to be particularly happy the way you killed him. Right, that's what I'm trying. Yeah. So I'm trying to say, if you want, let's say it's fine. More, if you're saying that Kim Jong Un or anyone of that sort of status should be crucified, I'm saying the choice of crucifixion. What is that? What are you achieving? If you're not achieving anything besides your personal satisfaction, well, then I think that action is not worth doing. And if you get personal satisfaction from someone getting tortured, then you should look into your personal satisfactions as well.
Yeah, I can't believe we're even discussing this. It is like, this is like very like low level talk. Like that, like how
why is that low level?
What, arguing about like, yeah, like it'd really satisfy me if someone was crucified. Like, are you fucking in like year like one AD? Like,
what
are
you- shut up. Just shut up. Well, all right, what would you rather instead of crucifixion? What would you say? Say something you'd rather.
Then, not having them get, like, suffer. Like, put them in prison and keep them away from doing any prison. More bad stuff.
So, you want prison.
But it's like, that's the purpose of prison shouldn't be punishment. It should just be, like, keeping them away from society. You shouldn't get punished for shit.
Kim Jong-un shouldn't get punished for North Korea.
No.
That is insanity.
I reckon people should just get, like, put in jail to keep them away. But I reckon, like, the idea of punishment is, like, something that will go away.
How about you remove the prospect of them escaping?
No. That's quite scary. To be that you think that somebody
it,
who has caused that much suffering doesn't deserve punishment.
Yeah, well, I reckon, like, I'm kind of, like, in that, like, there's no free will way of seeing things. So, I feel like, you know, Kim Jong-un, right, he's born into that. Like, Kim Jong-il was his dad. He couldn't help being the son of a dictator. He was forced into that life. Like, do you really think he made, like, a conscious decision, like, I'm going to be a dickhead? Like, he was born as that. Like, he didn't have a choice in the same way that you've been conditioned to.
His brother's not a dick.
Because he's not the leader. Like, he's being forced into doing it.
Yeah, but
it.
He was going to be the leader.
I'm just
but
saying...
then they gave it to Kim Jong-un because he's a dick.
No, I'm saying that, like, it's just a cause and effect thing. It's just, like, every action you do, it's like, you can't help what's happened. Like, he can't help that he's a dick. You know, like, his...
He can. His brother helped that he was a dick.
No, just,
he
like...
He was raised by the I'm same saying, son like, by definition because it's his brother.
No, I'm saying, like, genetically, right? Like, you're... Like, it's like being, like, a pedophile, right? It's like... You are born, like, it's like being gay or something. Like, you're born.
Here we go, the Maya Friedman argument.
Yeah. No, well, yeah, like, I think it's a fair argument in that, like...
Career ending? No, but there's going to be a lot of butt kissing as soon as you come back from your study Japan holiday where you're going to be sweating that comment.
No, I'm going to
put it on a meme on Instagram, what Tom said. It's like being a pedophile or gay. Listen to the 42nd episode of the Friendly Joys podcast to find out more.
No, or straight, or anything, like, yeah. Or whatever you are.
We know where your heart is, Tom. Yeah, your intentions were all right.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, if you are born, like, you can't help being gay. You can't help being straight. You didn't make a conscious decision, like, saying, like, all right, I'm going to be straight. That's something which, like, I think most people are pretty comfortable with, right? Like, are you, like, do you think you actually make a choice in any of that? Like, do you choose? It's like, it's the same as the, you know, the example is the, like, a crocodile biting someone's arm off. It's like the crocodile didn't make a choice to bite the arm off. The crocodile, it's just like, it's just a natural instinct. If an arm's there, meat's there, it's going to go for it. And I think like humans are in the same way. We just have this illusion that we actually make decisions. In the same, so then...
I really, again,
why is his brother better than he is? Because I'm saying, like, you can't help your genetics. Like, he, like, is just more attuned to genetics.
How he doesn't. He's virtually a clone. He is virtually Dolly the sheep.
If he was a twin, it would be a much more interesting experiment. But he's not a twin, so his genetics are actually different. So, and there's
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but plus, barely, right?
So then, plus, like, think of their upbringing. Maybe he's the younger child or the older child or whatever. Maybe he was just treated in a different way. Like, he obviously was treated in a completely different way because he isn't the same person. So, like, and, like, I don't get what the alternative is. He has to be the way he is because of how he was brought up and what his genetics are. Like, what else is there?
This reminds me a lot of when people say, I feel really sorry for Britney Spears because of how famous she is. Why do you have any sympathy for... Even if it's like, he can't help that he's a monster. He's still a monster. I'm really glad in the Minotaur story when that freakish bull that was born the way he was stabbed. That was awesome.
What the...
Fuck the Minotaur. He's a fucking monster.
It's like you stepping on the cockroach before. Like, it can't help...
It's a monster, damn it!
It can't help being a cockroach. It's just like...
I have a better idea.
Yeah, but it is, so... Aye, man. When cockroach meets foot.
So, yeah, so the argument is then, like, you know, people can't help what they do, generally. So, it's just like, yeah, like, definitely that should be put away to keep society safe. But, like, the idea of punishment, I think, will be as, like, crazy as, like, the Colosseum.
We should probably recommend at this point Sam Harris's Free Will book. It's a short read,
and it's quite comprehensively
goes through that. But, like, if people want to know more about it, it's a good
one. Ali, do you want punishment to keep existing forever? I want punishment to be more complex and become more intricate. Find a way to make every single cell in a human being suffer.
What's the point? Look, what is the point of that objective? Look,
because he kills... Like,
I can't tell if you're serious or not.
Probably 100,000 deaths.
We're angry.
It's just like, it's such
We don't know what the next step is, but we know that the first step is you've got to get mad.
Like, if you're serious,
you haven't
even
got to step on. It is not ridiculous. Your thing of just being like, no, he needs to be put away so he can't do it anymore. I think that
how
do
you put a voice on that? How can you put a voice on that? That's like,
it's
such
just
a sensible
that you are a hippie. You're a damn hippie. You don't have any shoes. Look, your shoes at the moment, like, your version of soles is dirt. Those are the soles on your feet. And you're sitting there going, no, man, there's going to be a time where everybody's just going to peacefully say, okay, you need some time out.
I just think you don't actually, like, what is the point? Like, what's the point of doing it?
I told you the damn point. He's a monster.
No,
he's
horrible, what's the point of making
person.
Them suffer? Like, it doesn't help anything.
Because we're mad.
It just makes you happy. Like, it's so, it's so
makes,
what?
That's such a basic instinct as well.
Happy. Yeah, it's so basic.
It's like, I am mad. I need to do something. I don't care what it is.
It's so basic.
It's just...
A what? A what?
If you check my YouTube subscribe channel feed, it's pretty much just subscribe to World's Craziest Car Crashes at howtobasic.com. I really reckon that there's no merit in that, though.
In what? Not
there's
suffer,
no merit
not
in
making
not
people
making
suffer.
Monsters like that suffer. There is no way that you can justifiably, morally say that he doesn't deserve something.
I just think you have to actually, like, justify, like, why he morally does deserve to suffer. Like, it's just...
I think just morally does...
Just, like, your argument is because it makes me happy.
No, it doesn't make me personally happy. It does make me personally happy. And it does you as well. You
doesn't
can
make
see,
me happy.
You can
doesn't
see
make
the
me
change
in
your face. It definitely does. As if being like, time out is no... It's nowhere near as, like, satisfying a thought but as seeing him on the cross being like, I can't breathe anymore.
No, I reckon it'd be quite a messed up experience. Like, I reckon, you know, like, when you see the family going and watching, like, the electric chair happen, I think people would watch that, and I doubt the majority of them are like, yeah! Like, I reckon most would, like, feel really weird after watching a man killed for something.
I mean, we're being a bit hyperbolic, but I think,
just looking at it from, like, a moral kind of, like... Like, not, like, what your personal beliefs are, but can you honestly say it's a morally better thing to do is to make someone suffer because they've caused suffering on someone else? Like, an eye for an eye was,
your
like,
version
taken away a
really
long
extreme.
Time ago.
Your version is... you are an extremist.
Yeah, I know it's
you
an extreme view.
Exact
I think it's a better
opposite.
View, though.
Of a Muslim terrorist. That can't be a good thing.
Yeah,
being the exact opposite.
Like, it's really, like, pacifistic.
They're the
but
North
it's
Pole
good.
And you're
like,
the South Pole.
Like, I just think it's like a, it's just a, yeah, like an eye for an eye was taken away when, like, a long time ago. Like, turn the other cheek is like the, like, one of the only things I like about, like, the Bible, but it is like a really good philosophy that was thought of thousands of years ago. And I don't know how you guys haven't caught up to that.
I would
yet.
Really like you to have this conversation to a North Korean family.
Yeah, sure.
You know
I think
what?
They're
that's,
wrong.
That's like, actually. That's actually a good point.
Dude, that is psychopathic what you are saying.
You're saying I'm psychopathic because I don't want someone to suffer for, like, hurting someone.
Taste you medicine. Want,
yes. I think you're medicine. Psychopathic for saying, like, I want someone to, like, burn because I've, like, because they've done something bad. It's eye for an eye is, like, just not at all, like, smart. Like, it's just,
no,
a
the
really
fact that you can sit there,
idea.
Like, to a North Korean family who's watched their entire... okay, so say
I'm
it's
saying
just the mother
put
and
away.
The son
I'm
there,
saying
but
like
everybody
get out,
else is dead.
Yeah, sure.
And you're sitting there being like, no, he should just be locked away. You've really got to understand that it's not his fault. He doesn't understand what he was doing. He's just a crazy animal, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Just don't make him suffer.
Like, you're just
he's
trying to use...
He's killed your entire family.
Yeah, you're just trying to use a really emotional, like, a reason for this. But yeah, like, I still would stand by that. Like, yeah, like, they're wrong to want him to suffer.
Ali, please, be the voice of true reason.
Okay, this is what I really want to say. It is up to the people of North Korea to decide what they have to do with Kim Jong-un. And I thought we figured this answer out like 100 years ago with judiciary and jury and laws. So if Kim Jong-un is convicted by the people of North Korea, then I don't care if he's crucified or if he's let off. That is justice, and that's what I want.
But think about, like, the evolution of law, like we were saying. It's like, we are moving further and further away from punishment in the sense of, like, making someone suffer, right? Like, it's like, it used to be crucifixion. We've moved away from that because, like, our laws have evolved and we've got better than that. But you're, like, suggesting we actually go back thousands of years to, let's crucify someone.
In extreme circumstances.
Like, I really think, like, if they caught, like, you know, like, Saddam Hussein, when they caught him, it's like, let's hang him. Like, it feels really kind of... like barbaric to me. I don't care what he's done. It's like, it really, I don't agree with the death penalty. Like, that
he put people through meat grinders.
Yeah, I don't care. Like, it's like, it doesn't matter to
God,
me.
I don't know if you do.
Okay,
I really
about to ask before this, who do you think is the most sane human being here? And I think we've proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that Tom is far more insane than even Robbie. And look at that outrageous hair.
A lot of people don't support the death penalty. Like,
it's not a controversial thing. Yeah,
this is not that controversial.
I don't know.
I think it's more...
No,
like,
what
so
you're
saying
is controversial, though. Because we're not... Because if you said to the vast majority of human beings, would you want a monster killed in a brutal fashion?
I'd want him killed.
Most people would say, absolutely. Yeah, most people would not agree with you.
I'd want him killed if he
you
was
an extremist.
Yeah, if that was to stop more people dying, then yeah, I'd want him killed. But if it's just like purely retribution for something he's done, I don't think it's... I don't think it does nothing. It doesn't help or change anything. All it does is give... people that aren't dead from, or like, you know, people that, like, you know, were, you know, don't like him, it gives them satisfaction, and that's all it does.
Yeah.
But that's not like, that is not like a good enough reason to kill someone.
I'll tell you what it actually does. It makes him a martyr. That's all it does.
Yeah, if anything,
it makes him a martyr. If you kill him in that fashion, you can be sure that a sizable proportion of North Korea will hate you and hate that crucifixion because you actually crucified him. It when you kill these people, it
regardless,
makes it worse.
Even if he died a natural death, like Stalin did, 30% of Russia's population would still elect him if he was alive today. He's still a martyr to their cause. It doesn't matter if he was tortured or not. The last thing that Stalin did before he died was everyone was like, is he dead? And then he stood up and then death stared everybody in the room. And then his spirit ascended to the depths of hell.
That's awesome.
But so, the thing is... He might be in a Stalin v. Vladimir Putin election. He would be Bernie Sanders, the outside dark horse with a...
Come on.
Damn it, he could do it. This crazy son of a bitch could make it. That would be Stalin in that situation. He's still a martyr.
But I
killing,
reckon...
Killing savagely.
Not really, man. If you had executed Stalin, Cold War politics would have been a lot different. Trust me. He died a natural death. Sure, some people were sad, but Russia moved on. Eventually, it collapsed, but that wasn't because of Stalin, because of other things. If you had killed Stalin, if, let's say, CIA had executed him, then you would have seen how things would have turned out differently. he was found dead in his office, right? And nobody had access to his office, so he was dead for like 3 days or something. That, sure, it... Look, he was a brutal dictator. There's no doubt about it. But even when he died, it was such a shock for the people of Russia that they went in mourning. People that actually hated him. Families that were killed by Stalin were mourning his death when he died because it was just a big shock. Imagine if you had executed that man.
Yeah.
Imagine what would have happened then. I know that it
Nothing really happened with Saddam Hussein. It didn't make the situation
worse. He went through judiciary. He went through a court of law and he was executed for his crimes. Osama bin Laden was executed without a judiciary.
All right, well, that's fine. Yeah, let the people decide, Tom. Yeah. Why do you get to be this dictator of pure love? It's creepy.
Well, I think
you're a creepy little man.
I didn't know you guys actually, like, were... So you support...
Not crucifixion. Like, I'm being...
But, like, capital punishment. You think it's good to kill criminals?
Robbie, in certain circumstances. Yes. Crucifixion...
So where's your line?
Straight. It's pretty crazy. That's kind of crazy. I don't know about crucifixion.
I think if you honestly, Jordan, without joking, if you honestly support crucifixion, like, there's a pretty massive problem in your mind.
What? Okay. Let's
Is there any occasion where you think crucifixion is, like, an okay thing to do?
I think that there would be a okay scenario where somebody could be ripped apart by rats that are trained to eat people.
Man, this is like almost beep out worthy in my mind. Like, I reckon, like, if people were like actually knew that you think that,
it's most like people, especially in Australia, would agree with me.
No way would people agree with you.
If you said that, again,
no, most people would agree with
the monster dictator scenario, most people would be like, yeah, feed him to the rat.
Right, but this isn't one of those things, like, because most people believe it, you're right.
Most
like,
people-
if there was just a law in Australia where we had these, there was somebody that's just paid on the tax system to ensure that there is a large portion of rats that are fed meat consistently and kept in a container, just in case.
So where's your
line,
then?
Just in case we have our own Aussie Hitler.
Like, I'm pretty interested to know, like, what would be, like... Like, where is it? Like, at what point is it like, all right, that's worth killing someone over?
Genocide. What's the word that Alex Jones uses all the time to describe when the government kills a lot of people?
I don't know.
Mm.
Democide. That's it. Yeah. Democide. Democide. Genocide. Come on. Torture that man.
What's the, like, definition? Of, like, how many people
we live in an equal opportunity world now?
How many people have to die for it to be genocide? What's the rule?
No, it's an attempt. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a thing that... If your intent is to try and wipe out a genome, that's genocide. Also, maybe as well, certain capitalists deserve it. Being fed to the rats.
I might be alright with that.
Don't you reckon there'd be certain CEOs, like the Koch brothers or something, feed them to the vermin?
Really? So people that haven't actually committed a crime, you think deserve the death penalty?
They've committed far greater crime than Stalin has. Somebody who's trying to get the Keystone Pipeline approved is...
I just think it's
the greatest criminal in all of the Earth's history.
So
think about causing a sixth mass extinction. Come on, feed them to the surviving rats of the mass extinction.
Yeah, like, take away their money, stop them from doing it, but like killing them, honestly, is just like, it doesn't...
No allowance.
All right, what
for
about
you.
This? What about this?
Yeah, like...
Their feet get fed to rats, so they just have to walk around with skeleton feet their entire life, so it's extremely painful and everyone knows what they did.
Well, yeah, like, no, obviously, I don't think that's a good idea.
Nose? Something. No. Give me something, Tom.
All right.
Would you be okay with a certain
finger,
level of
like a pinky or something? That's a pinky, maybe.
Are you cool with that?
No, I'm not cool with that.
Why?
You're not cool with any suffering, full stop.
Oh,
yeah.
God, why, like, waste people's time and energy and money keeping these horrific individuals alive? You know what I mean? Like, you're...
Really? You think that?
I do. I think in some scenarios, people should die.
So, you think the prison system, like, serves no purpose and people should just get put to death?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying in those genocidal and democidal scenarios, yes, kill those leaders.
What's the cost in keeping them in prison compared to, like, it's just like, who
whatever
are you
it is,
to say
too
it?
Much.
Like,
it's too much. Whatever it is, it's too much, in my opinion. Kill them.
And like you just get to decide. Like,
oh, right, Robbie.
It's pretty full on, I reckon, that idea.
No, your idea. Not. You really don't understand how much of an extremist you are. It's just you follow Sam Harris the same way.
I reckon Sam Harris just
follows the Quran.
No, I reckon Sam Harris wouldn't agree with me completely.
Yeah, he does. He wouldn't.
I've heard him agree with you.
He's not an absolute pacifist. He thinks people should die. Like, if, you know.
Yeah, and he argues that all the time. He talks about moral killing. Like, exactly what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, I don't agree. Yeah, like, this is...
Well, pacifism is your Bible. Your image that you walk around all the time, much like a underage teenager in a rave, is a small dummy that you carry around and you're wearing the singlet and footy shorts.
I don't think it's fair to, like... Pacifist. Just because I have, like... An idea on something, it shouldn't be like I'm in trouble because it's like an it's basically just saying like that's your Bible, you can't have that idea, it's a Bible. Like, that's all you're saying here.
You said that we were extreme before as well, so you know what's good for the goose is also good for the gander.
Yeah, I agree that it's like maybe an extreme. I reckon I'm definitely a minority view on it, but I honestly like I guess it's just like anyone else that has like a really strong opinion. But I honestly do think I'm right.
Can we all have a vote? Who here thinks that Tom is the most insane man in the room right now?
You think I'm insane for not wanting to kill people? One against two, dead inverted.
All right, so who? Yeah, let's go through this. Who actually do we think is the most like good moral compass out of us four?
I would honestly
believe it's Ali.
You think he's the best. Ali has the best moral compass when I don't want people to die.
Yes. Yes. Because you don't want a monster to die. Let's be perfectly clear about this.
I feel guilty about this, man. Like, you might disagree with him being against capital punishment, like, but that's a legitimate ideology. And that, like, a lot of people, like, there are certain points to that as well. Like, you might not agree with it, but...
But it's right. Look at him. He's just... His moral compass is always pointing north.
Yeah, and it's pointing to Tom. That's where it's pointing.
Oh, you say
yeah, but he's got the compass, right? Yeah. The perfect compass. While you're on the top with your loopy North Pole bonanza in the center of it going... Yeah.
Always on top. Around the circle. Yeah. On the throne.
Yeah, I suppose you can't imagine what it's like to be Tom. We should have sympathy, much like he does for Kim Jong-un. Heavy lies the crown.
I don't have
Heavy
sympathy.
Lies the crown of perfectness.
I don't have sympathy, and I don't have... Judgment. I am completely neutral.
This is
Angel Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
God. How?
He what is but a man.
What? Oh. It's all like a show, isn't it? It's all a big show, isn't it?
Yeah, like, I can't have sympathy for him because he doesn't choose.
So we found out at the end of this, the upshot of this is that Tom is not a wizard. He is an angel.
All right, I think we move on there. That's a pretty good point to move on.
Hi guys, Robbie here. That concludes part one of our Serious Ali specials. I very much hope you enjoyed. If you are offended by any of the views expressed, please feel free to call us on 0420-983-8. Stay tuned for part two. Next week on De Friendly Geordie's Podcast.